Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created. Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson in our second hour of the program. We've got three guests that we're going to move into. First one is Don Yunone from Cleveland. Don, welcome to the show.
Hello, Zara. How are you?
Just terrific. In fact, I was marking my calendar. You realize it's been a year since we were together when you came on and talked about actually your consulting business at the time.
That's unbelievable.
It is. And now, yeah. Of course, in fact, many people will know Don as a strategic planner and organization development consultant who has helped communities, regions, and states strengthen their local economy by expanding businesses and jobs. And during that 32-year part of his career, Don worked on more than 300 economic development projects in 22 states, 13 countries, and that includes being part of Tucson's Blueprint for Change, right?
Exactly.
But today we're actually going to interview the other side of Don's life, the Renaissance man, I will say. Photography returned to Don's life after a long break, something he took courses on in college years and viewed it as a main field of work at the time. And he sees his days in photography as a refreshing way to see the world with open eyes and heart and mind that find interest in people, communities, nature, and other things. Don is also a poet, a gift that he recognized, in fact, back in high school. So together, photography and poetry has become a vehicle for Don's helping others visualize and create future realities, including health and wellness, and aligning themselves with a greater meaning and purpose, not just driving activity and results. So with that, Don, it's a real pleasure, of course, for us today to talk about now your fourth book, your first primarily dedicated photography, right? And
That's
it's
correct.
Called Winter Spirit. So how's the reaction been going so far?
Well, so far, so good. I had a launch at the Art and Medicine Institute of the Cleveland Clinic here in town, and it was a sellout crowd, and I didn't even have the book in hand.
Oh, my goodness. And I'm noticing here, in fact, for those of you on the web that would like to pick up on this, is that Don has a blog that's just so rich with information. It's winterspiritreaders.wordpress.com. And the entry you made there on March 4th was you're sharing the stage with Shirley Buck Welton, a 100-year-old woman. Tell me about that experience, Don.
Shirley was a gift.
Yeah.
My wife, Mary, and I do volunteer work at the hospice of the Western Reserve. And Shirley was a new patient that was assigned to me. And the staff at hospice said, Don, go out and read poetry to her because she's interested in poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I arrived, brought my books, and said, would you like me to read some poetry to you? And she said, oh, no. She says, I want to read poetry to you.
Oh, my goodness.
She says, I'm really interested in sharing some of my poetry, which I've been writing throughout my life, and I need somebody to give me some feedback. This is a 100-year-old woman.
Isn't this lovely?
It was wonderful.
I bet it was wonderful. And so how did the actual event go then with her up on the stage with you?
She started out with three of her poems. She started with a poem entitled Utopia that talked about, as she said, her dream of a world without suffering,
mm-hmm.
kind of a Buddhist idea. And it was funny because before she chose her three poems, I went over and I visited with her and listened to the ones that she thought were possibilities, and she settled on these. And she said, do you believe in reincarnation? And I said, well, sort of, I do. And I believe that there is something that goes on, and, you know, through learning we develop and grow. And she said, well, she said, you know, I believe in reincarnation, and I want to read my poem Utopia about a world without suffering and having to go around so many times and then not having to go around anymore. It was wonderful.
Isn't that beautiful? And, you know, so many of us don't know to appreciate the active lives of those who are in the later days of their life as they go towards the light, I'll call it.
Yeah.
And that here she was grabbing for, you know, the joy of the day to read her poetry, something she obviously hadn't done much before, it sounds like.
Yes. This is a woman who is an accomplished musician. She was trained at the Stuttgart Conservatory and had to leave because it was at the very time that Hitler came to power.
Okay.
And so she left the country, went to Paris, and obviously the war progressed, and so she moved on to North Africa and traveled throughout Africa and the Mediterranean. That's an amazing life story.
It is, but, you know, to think that the poetry linkages and what you're doing here, debuting with a compilation of both your photography and poetry, can open new doors for people. In fact, I remind our listeners from what I said in the intro of the show that Winter Spirit, the subtitle is Using Winter's Beauty and Power to Inspire and Heal. And, of course, you're sitting back there in Cleveland, and it's been a brutal year across the nation with snow, and that a lot of the photographs that I'm viewing here in your work are, you know, with that lovely white puffy stuff there, but there's also that spring that's coming upon us, too. So, Don, talk this whole opportunity you and your wife, Mary, and others are using in the, you know, the wellness and medicinal side of joining poetry and photography together.
Yes. Winter Spirit is part of a four-book series, one for each of the seasons, so it's the first. And I think I decided to start with winter because, especially in places like Cleveland, people tend to get frustrated because it's darker and often, you know, it's cold, and so it's just it's difficult even to do easy things. But I think there is so much magic to winter as a season of the year, and if you wanted to look at it as a season of our life, it's very powerful. And so when you asked me about Shirley Buck Welton, she epitomizes winter and, you know, really the best of winter when you think about that as a season of our life. And Mary and I have really committed ourselves to the outdoors and spend a great deal of time in all seasons. You know, hiking, and obviously I have my camera on every trip we make, but we immerse ourselves in that. So Winter Spirit was a shared adventure for the two of us, and we discovered that spirit together.
Well, I think the other thing is this is part of, as you had shared with us in our first show, that how your creative work is turning into healing work. Mm-hmm. So it isn't just about taking pictures and writing poetry, right? It's
mm-hmm.
really about helping individuals, and whether they be mentally ill patients or those in hospice, find peace in their lives. So I think, you know, the timing of your book couldn't be any better for what we're wrestling with here on a global standpoint.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Zara. And the reception has been very positive, both the work that I've done in hospice and mental health, and now I've been invited in to do some training of healthcare staff, which is very exciting. They're very hungry for tools, and I recognize that because when I started doing this work, I discovered that people were always asking me, can I use your poem, because I want to read it to my mother-in-law who's very sick and she needs inspiration. And so I really see myself as a tool builder for the various creative art therapists out there. And obviously, as an artist, you know, love to share my work, both in reading and showing my photographs.
The in your creative bio that you had passed over to me to prepare for today, which I just kind of fell into reading and saw so many other additional facets of you, my friend, beyond the economic development consultant, your initial interest in poetry, that it was sparked by your father. Tell us a little bit about Donald Lowell Yanone.
Dad was a millwright, and as he said, he made a living turning wrenches throughout his career. And he loved to write. Early mornings before he went to work, he would sit at the kitchen table and he would write poetry. It was obviously very early in the morning at 4:30, 5 mm-hmm. o'clock, and I would sneak down the stairs and would try to get into the kitchen, and he would always run me off, and he said, it's too early to be up. But he would often leave his poems out, and I would take them and I would read them. And I was just amazed at a man with, you know, hands that, you know, were basically preparing a factory to start and repairing it, could write such beautiful poetry. He had over 100 of his poems published in various collections and books throughout his life. And I, before he died, October a year ago, I had the great opportunity to edit his first book of poetry, which he loved, and I was just delighted that we could share that together, because it was a very special opportunity. It was occasion to explore his poetry and what he had in mind and what he felt, things that I wanted to know as a kid when I would come downstairs and try to come to the kitchen and watch him.
And what were his reactions over the years to your poetry?
He loved it. He loved it. He always said, he said, I know you think you got this from me, but, you know, you got it from God. It's
beautiful.
A gift. And I think he's right. I mean, I still attribute my poetic voice to him, but I think he's right. I think it's a gift, and I think that's what I have to do, is use it.
That's right. For our listeners who may have just joined us, my guest at this point is Don Yannone, and his latest book, it's first of a four in a series. My goodness, so you've got a path cut out for you for a period of time, don't you?
I do.
But I have a hunch this first book came at you pretty quick in terms of the collection of photographs. The ones that are featured throughout the book, then, Don, are these all relatively recent photographs, or are they cut back through a cross-section of your work over your life?
Most come from the last 2 years.
Okay, yeah.
And most of the photography for the next three books, spring, summer, and fall, I mean, I have those in hand. Question is, which will make the cut to get into the book, and then what do I choose to write about them? So, you know, most of the photography has been done. I shoot pictures all the time, and it's just, I love it. I love the experience of photography. It helps me to see the world, helps me to see things that I wouldn't ordinarily look at. More and more I'm shooting pictures of people. Last night after dinner, Mary and I went over and I was asked to take some photographs of a middle school event, and there were over 200 young people that were, you know, playing basketball and volleyball, and they were dancing, and we just had the best time just, kind of sharing that moment with them. But I think, you know, there's more to photography than just taking pictures and, you know, seeing them unfold on your computer screen these days. It's an experience. And if it's done right, it can be just very powerful and very helpful to other people.
Well, in one of our guest segments here right before you, we talked about the power of being in the moment. And boy, there's nothing more commanding and required as a photographer than to be just that, right? Because you know it, something's flickered right by you.
Yes, that's right. And, of course, there have been many books that have been written about photography over the years. An increasing number speak to the issue of phototherapy and therapeutic photography, which both use the camera, the first with a trained therapist or clinician, and the second with a person taking a camera out on their own and just using it as a form of relaxation and therapy. So I think there's a growing recognition that photography is really important to our lives. And digital photography has frustrated a lot of the old line photographers,
sure,
because it's put the power of technology in everybody's hands. And, you know, now just about anybody can get a great picture if they really concentrate on it.
Well, yes and no, though, because it still takes that convergence of the artist to know when to click the button. You know, although, like you say, you're not nearly as subject to the finickiness of having to turn 25 dials at the same time. But, you know, I think some of the most profound art through photography, a lot of the people still use conventional cameras, don't they? They don't necessarily use all digital.
Yes, they do. I have a good friend, Andrew Borak, who is a photography professor at the University of Akron, and he and I have had many conversations about photography, and he still insists that students work in black and white, and to the extent that they can work with a manual camera, he has them do that, because he feels that they will put more of themselves into the process, and that will produce something that is more unique in terms of the actual photograph that's produced. So, you know, it's just an interesting time in our world, and I think We get distracted so much that photography really, as you just said, brings us back to the moment. I love this expression. This was said by Ansel Adams some time ago. Yes. He says, "Sometimes I get to places just when God's ready to have somebody click the shutter."
Shutter, exactly. And, of course, that resonates for those of us here in Arizona with Ansel Adams, having captured so much of what we have here.
Yes.
Don, in your bio, it says that in 2003, you decided to become a practicing artist and evolve from there. What happened in 2003? Because these are both lifetime avocations of yours, right?
Yes.
Did something else converge or push you in that way or open you that way?
Well, I think the convergence was the recognition that I had been doing my work in economic development and obviously enjoyed it, and I still do. But finally, I realized that some things that were important to me going back through my life, I really had not given enough attention to. And, you know, part of the whole process, I think, of growing spiritually or becoming, you know, more aware of yourself and the world around you, a lot of that took place in that time frame, and I decided that it was time to really put some energy into poetry and to share it and to be a part of the poetry community, not just here in the Cleveland area, but worldwide, because with the use of websites, blogs, and other online tools, it's very easy to connect with poets from anywhere.
That's right. Well, a year ago this time, I asked you a question about, so where's this all leading? And your response then was, "I don't know where all this leads in the long term, and that doesn't matter. The most important thing for me and others is to walk the right path, a learning path that includes many teachers and many who can learn from me." So tell us, perhaps in this intervening year's time, you know, has the path taken a bunch of jogs to the right or to the left or slowed down, sped up? What's your reflection in this past year since you and I first talked?
Well, you know, I think in all fairness, it's at times a bit overwhelming because in this economy, all of us have to work extra hard to make a living.
Yes.
At the same time, it's an opportunity. And I think Mary and I realized that there was an opportunity to give something back in hospice and to do work in other circles. And I have found that there's been a great interest in bringing creativity to the healing process. And, you know, it's something I think you have to talk about in a careful way. It's better to show people. It's better to read poetry, show them photographs, engage them, give them an opportunity to express their own ideas. And so people need that, and it's a difficult world out there right now.
Well, I think the additional challenge, even those who may not be feeling some of that stress, though, is you're challenging us to do inner work. And that's not the outside in, but that's the inside to the out.
Yes.
And that, in many regards, I know you've pursued master's work in this whole area of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And really looking for a different way to frame up where it is we're headed. And so that's very different than action item lists and BlackBerries buzzing all the time and feeling like it's activity as opposed to no being in peace and silence. And I would imagine that you're looking through the lens of your camera or through the lyrics of your poetry, that it slows that train down a bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it really does. And it's what you said all along, and I tell everybody anytime I use this expression, I say, my friend Zara Larsson in Tucson created a wonderful expression, which is you create your path by walking it. And, you know, and they kind of look at me and they said, wow, that kind of takes the load off, doesn't it? And
yes.
I said, it does. I said, because if we pay attention, if we learn as we go, the right things are going to happen for us as opposed to all the things that we might have believe before that has to do with trying to pressure things when we're not ready, when others that we're trying to convince aren't ready.
And that sooner you take a different approach where actually the answers will come to you or the opportunities will unfold towards you. Just like this experience, who would have thought you'd be sitting and sharing a stage with a 100-year-old woman listening to her poetry as opposed to her listening to yours?
I'll tell you, that was just such an amazing experience. And I knew that I needed to do something with the experience. And after I had my first visit with Shirley, I came home and talked to my wife, Mary, and I said, this is just too amazing. I said, you know, I'm almost tempted to add her to this Arts and Medicine Institute program I'm going to do. And she said, do it. She said, are you kidding? Why are you even thinking about it?
Yeah.
And so, I'm sure that Shirley is going to be invited to do some more work, and the Hospice of the Western Reserve here in Cleveland has asked both of us to come down and do a program. So I think she's just an amazing inspiration. She's an amazing inspiration for me.
Yeah, that's lovely. Well, your creation of Winter Spirit, when you and I were talking about it initially, you said you really have created it for two audiences. So let's close perhaps on those thoughts, Don, the target for this wonderful book.
The first is really any reader, anyone who has an interest in kind of appreciating winter in terms of image and word, and seeing it as just an amazing force of beauty, inspiration, and all those things. And the second audience really is the creative arts community. It's people that are trained and certified as art therapists that are working in all the different fields that we discussed that need the tools. And the last chapter of the book really provides them with some specific directions and a dialogue, a lengthy dialogue about how to use Winter Spirit, how to use the themes that appear there, from the landscapes to the close-ups to what I call the human face of winter, which is really thinking about people and in the context of their lives when they go through something that is a wintering, cold, difficult, harsh experience. So I think, it'll be interesting to see how it works. It's so new. I have no idea what the reception has been, but I am getting invitations, from different groups to come and talk about it, and I appreciate this opportunity to be interviewed by you. It's always a joy to spend time with you, and you know what this is all about. You were back here. You
Oh, absolutely.
Got your doctorate from Case Western Reserve, so
sure.
You know all about it.
42 trips to Cleveland in 3 years, and in fact, my guests coming up are in that program right now. Our next guest, one of the early review comments that you got that I thought I would read, so our listeners will understand, these aren't just landscape photographs, which in and of themselves are inspiring, or snowflakes and trees and like, but the individual comment, it said, the warmth, humor, and beauty of Don's photography captures the true spirit of the winter season. I loved how this book combines stirring peaks of action, such as snowboarders and skiers frozen in mid-leap, with quiet, snow-blanketed moments of tranquility. So for you, the photographer, that this versatility you demonstrate, Don, of enjoying that human spirit of certainly the wild snowboarding activities and skiers, but then on the flip side, also the quiet space, too. So it's been, I suspect, then this year a real journey for you as well.
It is. It is. And it's a wonderful one, but as we've talked privately, there are many challenges, especially in running a business, as you know, and you've done such a great job, and your husband Ted has, and, it's just a wonderful opportunity, I think, but, it can be difficult.
That's right, and we know that. But, sooner that we look for other ways to, as I say, not fall prey to the tyranny of the or in our lives, where you have to choose this or that. And here you are doing consulting work, economic development, but also then bringing these other parts of your life that have actually been there for such a long time, right?
Right.
And taking it to a new level also with Mary. Well, just a reminder to our listeners, I have been speaking here with Don Yanone, and you can view his work at winterspiritreaders.wordpress.com. That's his blog, which will also give the opportunity to engage and chat back and forth. As the blogging experience turned out to be yet another challenge, I suspect, right, Don?
That's right.
It keeps you fresh as a writer, I imagine.
It does.
That's good. And then your book, Don, it is available right now, and people can, where is it they could find it?
Well, for now, on the launch, it's available in the bookstore of blurb.com. That's B-L-U-R-B.com, blurb.com.
Very good.
And just do a search under my name or Winter Spirit, and you'll find it.
That's right. And Don's name is spelled I-A-N-N-O-N-E, or you can also visit thelarsengroup.com, where we'll have his bio and connection points fit there. Also, it isn't just Don's photography work, latest one, this first in a series of four, but he also has published three books of poetry. And in fact, I love how you've called that particular website the Poetic Alchemist, right?
That's what it is.
So there's always something new stirring and brewing.
Brewing.
I love it. Very good. Well, Don Yannone, thank you so very much for giving your time here today to join us. Of course, we've kind of staged up this show in anticipation of the Tucson Festival of Books coming next year. And who knows, maybe Spirit then in spring will be with us next year this time. Right, Don?
Very good. I would love it.
Excellent. Well, we'll look forward to being in touch. Thanks again for joining us here, everyone.
Thank
on Circles
you,
of Change. My pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsengroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.